Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, hello, hello up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK. As usual, I'm sharing my excitement and excited to be here. The coastal plain of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta is the most productive wildlife area of the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge and one of the most productive wildlife areas in all of Alaska. In terms of both the density and species diversity, the Delta is the most important shorebird nesting area in the country. And the vast intertidal zone is the most important wetland for post-breeding shorebirds in the west coast of North America. Greg Kim joins us this morning to talk birds with community members. Greg?
Thanks, Grady. Today we're going to be talking about birds and birding with some veteran birders, Kevin Morgan and Eileen Arnold. Good morning, Kevin and Eileen. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Greg.
Morning. So this year I've been noticing the birds in my backyard more. Behind where I live, there's a lake, and I've just been really enjoying watching them fly around, perch on trees. I think it might be because we've been in social isolation for a while. And I look outside and there's life, and it's really nice to see. Anyway, I've been finding myself more interested in birding. Could you tell us exactly what birding is? It's different than just looking at birds, I understand.
Yeah, so this is a kind of a funny topic among birders. Like, what is birding and what is bird watching? I would say that we are all bird watchers, but birding is a more intentional take at bird watching, and it's about understanding what you're looking at, and maybe Eileen can talk more about this.
Yeah, I think birding is more like a hobby, more like a, you know, what I think everybody can enjoy birds, and I think it's a wonderful thing. Like you said, Greg, just noticing them in your backyard is a, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And when you start to want to answer the questions of what bird is that? What is it doing here? Where is it coming from? Why is it doing that thing? Then you become a little bit more of a birder.
Okay. Could you explain why birding is such a phenomenon? Like, why do people like birding?
That's a really good question. And I think the reason why people like birding is it has a lot of facets to it. And I think we're just generally curious as human beings, and we want to know things. So, like, what bird is making that noise? What bird am I looking at? And what birding does is it forces you to recognize what you're looking at, and also there's an aspect of keeping a list. So there's almost a scavenger hunt quality to it, where it's like, have I seen that bird before? Is that bird on my list? And once you start connecting with nature in that way, it's another dimension to nature and just enjoying life.
Uh-huh.
And I think different people find different things to really enjoy about the hobby. Like Kevin said, for those of us who really love to keep a list, I really love to keep a list. I really like having my list. The technology is really great, like binoculars and scopes, and there's a big artistic element to it if you're a person who's a photographer. People who enjoy being out in nature, taking walks, like adding something to the walks that you're doing, learning names, all that sort of thing. I think all of that is different things that people enjoy about birding.
Uh-huh. And this is something that Grady mentioned in his intro, but where we live right now is what I understand, a particularly special place for birders, and we have a ton of different species here. Can you talk about what makes the YK Delta such a special place for birding?
So we have a lot of birds here that come from South America, Central America, Mexico, East Coast of the United States. There is even a bird here that comes from Antarctica. And it's a bird that you might not even think twice if you see it. Called the Arctic tern. A lot of people think of it as a kind of pointy seagull, You can see it hovering around lakes and fish, looking for fish. We also have a bird here that, for instance, last year, Arlene and I went to Kauai for a vacation in April, and I recognized a bird in the parking lot there that in 1 month I knew it was going to be in Bethel.
Wow, that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like Bethel is a good place to live, I think, like, the YK Delta is a good place to nest. Like, some of the birds that are coming from South America, like the little warblers in the trees, like the yellow warblers, the, you know, yellow rump warblers, all of those kind, like, they nest on the ground. And if you're in an environment where there's snakes and things, like, your nest is really at risk. But when you're, obviously, we don't have snakes or those kinds of predators here, so it's a good place to nest, good place to raise a family.
Wow, okay, interesting. And could you tell us about how one would get into the hobby of birding? Just kind of talk someone through who doesn't know the hobby but wants to get into the hobby. What do you need? What tools do you need?
Okay, so this is another great question. And I'll tell you how I got into it. In 2012, Eileen and I were, it was a weekend. We were boarded in Bethel. And at AC, we saw a flyer saying, come for a bird walk, you know, Fish and Wildlife sponsoring a bird walk. And we thought it'd be fun to do and to try it out. We knew nothing about birds. I mean, I grew up here. And, you know, you see, like, ducks, geese, swans, but, you know, ravens. But you don't really think about the other birds in Bethel. And we went on this bird walk, and they handed us a pair of binoculars and a list of bird, local birds, and it just, you know, the binoculars literally opened my eyes to the fact that I was living in a bird zoo. And after that, just walking around Bethel, hearing different sounds, noticing different birds, I started checking them off my list. And so that's what got me into it, a pair of binoculars and a list of local birds.
And I think also, like, having a birding buddy is really good also. Like, we spent a lot of time with Brian McCaffrey, who worked at Fish and Wildlife at the time, and we have a good birding buddy still in town, Greg Browerman, who just knows a lot about birds. It's really nice to go with people who know, and Kevin and I are always willing to, like, take new people who are interested in birding around, because the more people who are, you know, love and are aware of birds, the better it is for birds.
Well, why do you say that?
Because, like, simple things that can be done, like a lot of birds might, smash themselves against a window. But if you're aware of birds and you sort of know that that's happening, you might get the decals that they can see so that, it protects bird habitat, bird wildlife. Maybe people would donate money to different conservation efforts for saving wildlife and wildlife habitat. For all of us who love birds, we just want to make sure that they're around for forever and we can appreciate them.
Yeah. And we're kind of at the start of birding season is what I understand. What kind of birds are we seeing right now and where are they coming from?
Yeah, so right now is the best time for birding because you have all these birds flying from, like I said, like from South America, the East Coast of America. We have birds here from Australia, from Hawaii, like I said, Antarctica, the Arctic tern. They're all flying to north to breed. And when they come up here, they spread out. And that's one of the nice things about the tundra is they just have room to spread out. And what they do is they set up shop and they start singing a song or doing some sort of display to claim territory. So when you're walking around town, different parts of town are going to be owned by different birds, basically. And they'll be singing their song saying, hey, this is my area. I'm looking to breed, and I'm claiming this spot. And not only that, but they are in breeding plumage. That's not something that some people get downstate. So not only do we have the birds here, but they're saying, hey, I'm over here. You know, come look at me. I'm going to display myself, and you can see me and hear me.
And now is really the best time for that because, like, the leaves are going to be full really soon, and the birds are going to start hunkering down on nests. So now is really the time to look. Once you get into like mid-June, July, they're not going to be as loud. They're not going to be, it's going to be a lot harder to see them because there's just so much more leaves and foliage and things. So now's the time to be out looking.
Mm-hmm. Eileen, this is something that I feel like maybe you were alluding to in a previous comment, but it's been studied that climate change is impacting birds, both in their numbers, their habitats, or what time of year that they migrate. Have you guys noticed in your time here that, you know, what kind of, which birds you see or what part of year you see them or how many you see?
Kevin, maybe that would be a good time to talk about one of your favorite birds, actually.
Yeah, so this is kind of a sad story. There is one of my favorite birds in Bethel. It's called the rusty blackbird. And it's a small bird about the size of a robin. In the springtime, it's almost all black with a little bit of rust around the edge of the wings. It has a yellow eye. And it is a bird that when you hear its song, it almost sounds like a modem, like a computer modem booting. I don't know if you if you're old enough to remember what a computer modem is, Greg, but it makes it.
Can you try and make the sound, Kevin?
Like, I can't even reproduce it. It's just very kind of like a computer mechanical bird song. It's not like a nice, you know, sing-songy whistling thing. It's really interesting.
Okay.
But anyways,
and what makes it one of your favorite birds?
It's a bird that you can see around Pinkies Park, especially in the fall time when it's flocking up. It's a bird that, you know, I've seen at fish camp. You can see it at Pinkies Park. It's at my parents' bird feeder in the summertime. But by birding, I found out that within the last 40 years, 90% of its population is gone. And it's a vulnerable species. It's a vulnerable species. It's one step away from being an endangered species. And as far as Bethel goes, we have it and we can see it, but their population is dying out.
And they don't really know why either. That's another troubling thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed differences in, you know, bird songs over time, either?
So this is another interesting question because you asked, what do you need to get into birding? And I said that I started with binoculars and a bird list of local birds. But one of the best ways to identify a bird you're looking at is by song, because bird songs are pretty consistent. And they will, like a fox sparrow has a certain song, and if you hear it and you know what the fox sparrow song is, you can identify it very easily. Like if you see a bird in a tree and you have binoculars and you just see part of its wing, it might be hard to ID it, but if you hear a bird song or a bird noise, I'll talk about that in a little bit, you could ID it 100% right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, Eileen, you could talk about the Wilson snipe, which is a local bird that has a unique sound, but it's not unique from singing.
Yeah. One of the coolest sounds that we have here in Bethel is the Wilson snipe. One of the things that it does to claim its territory is it flies really high up, and then when it comes down, it bends its tail out in a certain way, and it makes this sound like woo 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 woo, and it's very alien sound. I haven't heard it, and that's not even its song. Its song is a little bit more like, you know, quack 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 quack. I think somebody's exactly. So it's unmistakable, and it's one of those Bethel sounds, I think, that are really, really interesting, really comforting, and you know, part of that bird's life and way of being.
Okay. And could you guys quickly share maybe your proudest bird that's on your list? We only have a little bit of time, but, yeah.
Oh, that's really hard. I really love out here the Lapland longspur. That's a tundra bird that, you know, in my mind, it sort of feels like a real Bethel bird. It's a little sparrow-like bird. It looks very cool. It's got a very cool song. You'll see it flying low over the tundra. It will also sort of fly up high and then soar down over the tundra. singing its song. And that's just a real Bethel bird to me. I really love it. And that really feels like Bethel home to me. But it's not hard to see. It's not like I'm super proud. Like, you can see him anywhere. But it's a real buddy of mine.
Yeah, you can take a walk at Piggy's Park and see them out there. A bird that I really like locally, and Eileen likes a lot too, is called the varied thrush. And this is a bird that's very shy. It's about the size of a robin. But what if I told you that there is a purple and orange bird that looks like it's out of a Wes Anderson movie, just in the forest around here? Like, have you seen a purple and orange bird flying around? It's a bird that is, if you hear the song and you go see it, it's a very special sight.
Huh.
And
okay. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Kevin and Eileen, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay.
And remember, bye. Next time you hear Wilson Snipe.
Will do. All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge supports one of the largest aggregations of water birds in the world. Millions of shorebirds use the refuge for both breeding and staging. Nearly 40,000 loons, 40,000 grebes, 100,000 swans, and 30,000 cranes return to the refuge each spring to nest. You can pick up a checklist of birds from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There's two pages to check out. And that's the story. I'm sticking to it. Don't forget to be awesome
each weekday,
to each other.
A member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Luna from Bethel, Alaska. You're listening to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska, the YK Delta's best public radio station.